on. We are back, and we're going to move on to item 7C. Mr. Shinomi.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Brian Shinomi, Director of Emergency Services here for Siskiyou County. Today before you, we're bringing a resolution regarding proclaiming a local emergency and requesting Governor to proclaim a state of emergency for a list of pesticides and cannabis operations. Before you, we have the amended resolution from what we originally posted on Friday. We had some outside assistance that was able to build some strength into this that we needed. So with that, I will read through the whereases that we've changed, and bear with me, there's a few of those. Whereas four legal cannabis cultivators in Siskiyou County are increasingly using illegal, highly toxic pesticides unlawfully as fumigants by igniting sawdust-like material infused with a cocktail of insecticides, organophosphate, carbamates, pyrethioids, chlorinated hydrocarbons, and fungicides, herbicides, in aluminum cans placed throughout enclosed grow structures, creating a thick, poisonous smoke. And whereas five, multiple certified laboratories have identified the presence of at least 27 pesticides in various mixtures saturated in the sawdust-like material, of which 9 behave similar to a chemical warfare nerve agent by attacking the central nervous system, i.e. acetylcholinesterase inhibitors. 3 are listed as California toxic air contaminants, 6 are listed as California state agencies as groundwater pollutants, and 9 are listed as Proposition 65 carcinogens. Whereas since 2023, approximately 176 investigations conducted by the County Code Enforcement Environmental Health Divisions and associated enforcement actions have revealed the widespread blatant misuse of highly toxic Chinese labeled pesticides, as well as other less frequently observed Thai labeled and Spanish labeled pesticide products. See Exhibit A. According to California Environmental Protection Agency, Cal EPA, the Chinese labeled pesticide fumigant products have been found in 18 counties throughout California, with Siskiyou County taking the lead on quantity, variety, frequency of observation. These illicit products are often imported outside of legal regulatory channels and lack English language label information required under federal and state law. And whereas 7, these illegal pesticide fumigants products have been routinely discovered at illegal cannabis cultivation sites and include pesticides that have been approved for that have never been approved for use in the United States, such as chlorothiophenes, diphenthiuron, and phenobiocarb, fumarizedialazole, isoprocarb, procyanidone, and tridamorphine, along with other pesticides that were once approved, but canceled due to health and safety concerns, such as dimosap and hexachlorobenzene. Additionally, according to Cal EPA, it is unknown at this time what thermal decomposition products, i.e. toxic gases, are produced by burning a mixture of highly toxic illegal pesticides that are not permitted to be used as fumigants. And whereas 8, these unregulated foreign label carcinogenic, tetragenic, genotoxic, and cytotoxic agents include known persistent organic pollutants that are not authorized for use by any federal or state agency, pose immediate and severe threat to human health, including but not limited to acute poisoning, long-term genetic abnormalities, disruption in cellular metabolism, respiratory and reproductive harm, neurological damage, as well as long-term environmental contamination of the soil, air quality, groundwater, surface water, and wildlife and ecosystems. 9, whereas under the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA, 4 of our county groundwater basins have been designated as medium priority basins, including Shasta, Scott, and Deep Valley groundwater subbasin, which are sustainably managed by the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, acting as groundwater sustainability agency GSA. Water quality is required. Sustainable management criterion that the GSA must monitor and report on annually to the Department of Water Resources, DWR. When the GSA does not meet the water quality standards and goals set forth in the Groundwater Sustainability Plan, GSPs, it risks having the GSPs deemed adequate by DWR. This could trigger state intervention by State Water Resource Control Board, SWRCB, potentially shifting wild groundwater jurisdictions from local community to the SWRCB, and whereas 10 first responders, including deputies from the Sheriff Task Force members, game wardens, county officials, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, environmental response teams, are increasingly encountering these illicit substances during the course of their duties, often without sufficient warning, appropriate protective equipment, PPE, and proper safety protocols for this new emerging public health threat. Additionally, medical personnel are not equipped or trained to properly handle exposures or suspected exposures of these illicit products, which lack the required safety label language that registered pesticide products are required to have per federal and state law. And whereas 11, several documented incidents across the state within the county demonstrate how smugglers / distributors of these illegal pesticides products continue to disregard state and federal regulatory requirements set forth by Cal/OSHA and the California Food and Agricultural Code, FAC, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, Rodenticide Act, FIFRA, resulting in worker safety concerns to cultivators and exploited workers at these illegal grow sites. In addition to increased threat to first responders resulting in serious medical consequence and occupational hazards for those to the chemicals during eradication operations conducted by law enforcement, personnel, firefighters during emergency response operations. And that is it for the whereases that have been changed. In the page 5, it further ordered that 6, all relative county agencies, including but not limited to Siskiyou County Public Health, Siskiyou County Environmental Health, Siskiyou County Agriculture Commissioner, Siskiyou County Sheriff, Siskiyou County Office of Emergency Services, are authorized and ordered to take immediate necessary actions to protect life, property, and the environment under this emergency proclamation, and to coordinate with Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District acting as GSA to that end. No additional changes. Throughout the document, 7 through, I believe it's 13, should have pictures and additional labeled pesticides that have been questioned.
I'll start from my right, Supervisor Valenzuela.
I'm good with it.
Supervisor
Just had a couple questions. Let's see, at page 2, whereas at the bottom of the page, threat to human health. I see it's layered, covers workers, but should that be here too, or no?
I'm sorry, which whereas?
The last whereas on page 2.
Yes.
Threat to human health. I guess I expected that to also, in this whereas, to draw attention to the people working these growths.
So we do have that, sir, and that is...
I know it's later on.
Okay, yeah. This one was for the safety of the... with the unregulated foreign labeled, we wanted to capture the fact that the workers that... Because a lot of them are migrant or move beyond. Once they're gone out of there, we don't know what happens to them. We don't know what is exposed to them. We're concerned about our emergency response teams that are here stationed in Siskiyou County that are exposed to this. As you saw, the last 7 fires having to go and be exposed to that.
Right.
So that's where we wanted to capture that and then capture the workers or those who have been trafficked in a later.
Okay. All right. I'm fine. The next whereas, I guess this is more the groundwater risk. What is the groundwater risk? Because one of the things that the multiple discussions I've had with Director Dean is that it's a long way down to the groundwater in some of these areas. So I do understand that some of it's pretty close to some of the conveyance structures for the irrigation district. I'm not looking to pull it apart. I'm just looking to make sure we don't have something in here the state's going to grab a hold of and say, see, that's not a risk.
Right, great question. So one of the things that we threw in here with water, I think one of the concerns across the board from multiple staff, Matt Parker being part of that staff, is working with Matt due to the fact that in the area, again, fires, we're seeing water dumps, bucket dumps. You know how much water is being dumped on a fire. We're seeing that. We're seeing just throughout protecting the county as a whole, and whether that groundwater, whether that starts to get tested, for us, is this is going to trigger that initial testing and then continuing testing from beyond.
Okay. And you think we may be able to get some funding if this is approved?
That is our plan.
To do that work.
That is our plan with this, and that was one of the main reasons why we put that in there.
Okay. Next, whereas it says, it talks about the exposure, and I'm wondering, increasingly encountering these illicit substances, is encountering the right word? Because they're more than encountering, they're being exposed and they're having to be treated.
It's the word that we would use in my career field and the other jobs that we're encountering now.
Okay.
If we're moving into a hot zone or a hazmat zone, we're encountering that.
Okay.
I felt like that was a strong enough word.
Okay. I guess I'm looking for the tie to we have good willing people responding to emergencies,
right,
who are being exposed to things.
Yes.
That has long-term health risks.
Absolutely.
Associated with it. And I can't help but reflect on Agent Orange in Vietnam, you know, and how the government denied its effect on the human health for so daggone long, you know.
Right.
That's what's in my head.
Right.
You know,
which is why we brought this forth.
Making sure that we are quite clear that this is an immediate health threat.
Yes.
To our responders.
And then working throughout our local state responders, we all understand that risk. I'm working through a task group and a task force right now to put that together, to put in better protocols, ensuring safety for all.
And my only last question then, bullet number 6 on page 5. When you read it to me, I don't know what it means. Explain that to me.
One of the things that we have been lacking is having all of us sitting at a table discussing this as one. This will be a multi-departmental task force that we're working. First one is today. We're going to start building, I've already started building a plan of attack for everything besides law enforcement. What does that look like for environmental health? What does that look like for ag? What does it look like for everyone who is involved with this and who touches this stuff, who sees this stuff, who comes in contact with this stuff? One of the ones important, which will push back from public health, will also be the hospitals. How are all of these relevant agencies concerned? This is not just a single agency, as we've seen before. This is not just the sheriff go take care of it anymore. This is a full county response. And that's 6s and comes in now.
Okay. All right, I appreciate the work. To support this, but it'd be nice to see Cal Fire weigh in on this. Maybe get their collaboration on this effort as well, because they got to be tired of what they're doing.
Absolutely.
In recent weeks. Anyway, thank you.
Supervisor Cox, yeah.
Looks great. Well done. The only question I have is on the title. Why is the parentheses around illegal pesticides and illicit cannabis operations?
That's a good question.
You can remove it. I believe in prior ones, they just define what this particular local emergency is.
Okay.
So it's just a form that usually has the same title, and then the parentheses include what it pertains to.
And
but you're free to remove the parentheses.
I'd like to remove it and make it a little more succinct. But and then what's the difference between a declaration and proclaiming, or is there?
To a great degree, there really isn't
okay.
a difference. But
okay.
Generally, we call these proclamations and other
okay.
ordinances.
All right.
For
good.
Declaration.
Well done. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Supervisor Harris?
Just a couple things. The resolution itself looks great. One thing that I particularly would like to see added here to kind of show our level of concern, I know Ms. Davis and I have talked about testing for our employees that are being subjected to contact of this. I would like to put something in here saying that we would test our people that we're putting at risk something like twice a year. That way we show like we're generally concerned about even the people that, you know, we're putting at risk. Another thing to tie on to Supervisor Hopp with the CAL FIRE comment is I believe that we should include Forest Service, because I have heard from Forest Service that they show up on some of these fires and they're told to either go in unprotected or leave from CAL FIRE. So I think that they're kind of at a point where they're like, we don't even want to respond to these. So I think that their input would be big. And then outside of this, but just something to consider as we talk about this, it kind of spurred it. What are we doing to decontaminate our employees and people we're sending out so that they're not taking traces of this stuff home to their families?
So let me unpack all of that. The first piece regarding testing. So we threw that in the further ordered that number two, Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration guidance, so OSHA guidelines. This is already all in there.
Okay.
It's already dialed. That's why we added that in throughout. Additionally, what we're going to do without having to change much of this is through our multi-departmental task force is we're going to set all those guidelines. We're going to set all that up. So I'm working with the task force. I'm working with the sheriff's office. I'm working with basically everybody who needs to be involved and everybody who needs a seat at that table. And that's already something that's going to be defined very early.
Perfect.
Second one was
Forest Service.
That was, we do work with them. We have, for the most part, been engaged with them. CAL FIRE usually takes the lead on that as the one responding agency. A lot of these grow sites do either butt up to the Forest Service, and they're usually coming in as, I don't say second responders, but as the second wave comes in. So they are aware of it. We do work with them very closely. There was an offer, and there's still a little bit touch and go on that, but their law enforcement agencies and their LEO are definitely involved.
Okay.
So that will be something that we will continue to work on as well.
Okay.
Anything else?
I'll make the motion to approve with the amendment.
I do have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we get at least two originals of this back before the meeting's over so the chair can sign them and I can process them today?
Yes.
That would be great. Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Cinnamon.
Thank you very much.
And through the chair, if the clerk wants you have this signed, can you email it out to hopefully all the board members? I've got contacts that already want to see this after the RCRC meeting in MODOC. So
sure, I'll scan an email to each VOS member, and you guys can then send it to your people.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Okay, moving on to item 7D. Discussion, direction, possible action on state of emergency.
Move to extend.
Second.
Call for vote.
You did a good job.
Through the chair, if Through the chair, quickly, one of the things, Sheriff is at a legislative meeting today in session, bringing up this and bringing up the wolves as well. One of the things he did want me to push forward was that this being now in conjunction with the same, with that proclamation, and that was we wanted to have a debate on this.
Okay, call for a vote.
Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Howell?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobstad?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakman?
Aye. Okay, moving on. Okay, we're going to recess as Assistant County Board of Supervisors, convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District, and we're looking for public comment in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
Consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Call for vote.
All righty. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Halp?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Cobstad?
Aye.
And Director Oakman?
Aye. Item C, discussion, direction, and possible action regarding emergency repairs. You have an update?
Good morning, Jessica Skillen. We need to extend it one more time. When we sent the contract over to the roofing contractors, they found that they needed to up their insurance on their side, so they're working on that now. So we are still moving forward. The office is absolutely complete and it's beautiful. We're just waiting on the roof. I'm getting confirmation that the tarp stayed on after last night's pour, just to make sure that there was no damage.
Okay. So we'll hear back from you again.
Yes, next week.
All righty.
We do need a motion, though.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Oakman?
Aye.
Sorry, Director Cobstad?
Aye.
And Director Oakman?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gillen. Okay, we will adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene as a Siskiyou Power Authority. Public comment in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Consent agenda?
Move to approve.
Second.
Aye. Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Howell?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Cobstad?
Aye.
And Director Oakman?
Aye. Item C, Siskiyou Power Authority. Siskiyou Power Authority. Come on down.
Good morning, Adam Filipponi, Director of General Services. Today I just want to give a quick presentation on where we're at with the Box Canyon Hydroelectric Project. If you look at the packets that I turned into you this morning, we have our financials there. Last year, after site improvements, we brought in $351,657.74. Pretty good year. Next year, we are projecting to have a loss of $500,051.85902, and that is after site improvements. We do have some scheduled site improvements coming up, stuff that was pointed out during our inspections to the tram. We are adding a new backup generator so that the dam operators don't have to use the stairs in the winter when the power goes out. And we are improving some safety aspects to the stairs, too. So that leaves in our coffers after next year a $7.2 million roughly. And then some of these costs will be one-time costs of site improvements, and then as our FERC testing wraps up. So we hope to see improvements in the future to revenue. If you go to the next page, there's an interconnection agreement on the Box Canyon Dam. In the first boxes there, you will see that is basically the pricing that Pacific Corp pays us for generating power and selling back to them. You probably see there that in 2026, it drastically drops. I did put something in the packet that speaks to that. I can speak to it real quick, or you can read it at your own leisure, but basically, Pacific Corp is going from a renewable sufficiency to a renewable deficiency next year, meaning that the renewable energy that they are required to have in their portfolio was sufficient for so many years Now it is in a deficient state, so their prices of what they pay drop. The other thing is, too, is we no longer receive REC credits. REC credits are renewable energy credits that we actually have in the coffers now that we can sell at any time. I'm looking at if we need to sell them before this the 2026 thing happens. I don't have an update on that yet, but I just learned about them. So.
You're learning a lot about them.
I'm learning a lot really quick. So that it's unfortunate that they're not going to pay that as much, but we're looking into cost savings of how we can still generate good revenue at the dam and continue to improve the infrastructure and the processes at the dam. So that's where we're at with that. You can see the average net output at the Box Canyon Dam. Last year we did 17 million kilowatt hours. That's about 48% of the potential of the dam, and that all depends on lake levels, water, everything. We have to keep the lake as full as possible, at the same time generating power and then keeping the river flow above 40 CFS. That's per California Fishing Game. On the back page there, I kind of put the rates per Pacific Power. Don't be confused as it says Oregon on it. We are grouped in with the Oregon part of Pacific Power here in Siskiyou County. So they are our overseers. You can see that runs all the way to 2040, and it's kind of scary because the rates dip quite a bit and they start to come up again. But talking to somebody at Pacific Power actually yesterday, they told me that they re-review this after 5 years. Don't look at the doom and gloom of the long stretch of deployment. Some of our projects, just to dive into a little bit, I mentioned the backup generator. The dam has a backup generator right now that is insufficient. It's very old. I actually read the tag on it. It's from 1971. And it doesn't allow us to power the tram and a lot of backup safety systems within the dam. So I don't know if you guys have ever looked over the spillway in the winter when there's a lot of snow. There's a stairway that goes down that's very dangerous, and we don't want our dam operators getting hurt climbing down that thing. We want them to be able to use the tram during the winter. So we're actually putting in a new generator, running new power and everything. So all of our safety backup systems and the tram are available when the power goes out. And when the power goes out, usually somebody's headed towards the dam at all hours. So we want to make sure that they can stay safe. We're getting towards the end, I believe, and Jess can speak to our FERC inspection a little bit better than I can.
Oh, hello, Board. Hi, I'm Jessica Skillen again. So we are in the middle, and we're about to wrap up our FERC Part 12D, so the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So what it is, it's a five-year inspection of the dam, top to bottom. They even asked for soil samples this time. It was very extensive. So we are, and on that five-year mark, we're also doing a 10-year inspection. So because of the Oroville Dam disaster, they are now requiring a more even deeper dive in. They came out on March the 18th. They did a whole week inspection out there. The one thing that they said, we don't see anything glaring. It looks beautiful. It's actually very nice and tidy down there. It's not damp and dark. It's well-oiled machines. They had concerns because the original water, so the floodplain. So they looked at all these things that could happen. If Mount Shasta erupts, what's the damage that can happen? If we have a flood, if we have a fire around the lake and all those trees just come and destroy the dam and the spillway, what is the disaster in money and in lives? So they basically told us if we have a dam breach like right now, how long it's going to take for Dunsmuir to be able to evacuate. They're going to put all that into this huge report for us, and we'll be able to do a presentation on that. But they said that in the 1960s, when the original dam was put in, they never took into account any floodplains that was east of the I-5. All they took in was for the lake itself. So they had to do more, I guess, deep dive. If all of the glaciers on Mount Shasta melted you know, in one day, and all that water comes gushing towards Dunsmuir, and then our dam breaches towards Dunsmuir, we weren't expecting them to call. So they did a really extensive dive. We're looking good, so hopefully there's no eruption, there's no floods, but we do need to hold some funds in there in case if there's any, if it does erupt, if we do have a flood, if we do have a fire. We're doing a lot of logging and taking out all that brush in there. We're working with the camp. What is it called? Down in Fort Jones area, the people that come and work for us. So we have the deadwood crew. They come out, they're pretty inexpensive, and they cut all that stuff down. We've had meetings with Angela to even increase that to make sure that the fire risk is low. But the dam is looking good, and we're going to rock up on that. So continue to make money on it.
So I would say this is under the power authority. It's some piece of is the operation of the dam. Forward thinking, you know, obviously the rate, Supervisor Costa would remember this, when we were getting well above market rate, and we were actually doing pretty good. Now we're at this point where we're crossing the threshold to make or break, whatever. But I think there's an opportunity for us, if we want to be forward thinking, to expand that power authority. So think a solar project, think something small, think the transfer station utilized. Otherwise, you've got to ask yourself the question, what are we doing just have an entity that's not generating anything for the general fund like we used to have, and or the flood control? I mean, how do we support the businesses that were county businesses that we need to deal with? So I would like to give that some thought down the line. I mean, I still think there is opportunity. Well, you know, call what you'd like. You know, it's green energy. I think we just got to figure out a way to maximize all that. It galls me every time, and there's no fault of anyone, but when there's water going over that spillway, we're losing revenue. And this county can ill afford to lose revenue where we can capture it. And so, to me, the extension would be a solar project, let's just say at the transfer station where we have space. A wind, you know, something to do with wind. And I'm not talking a huge project that's going to be, quote unquote, everyone's going to line up out the door of the environmentalist type of thing, but using assets that we have. The airport's another one. I mean, what can we do utilizing that in conjunction with the power authority? What if we sold that power, as an example, to the resort? I mean, I don't know how we would do it, but it's right there. I mean, there is opportunity, I think, if we kick some stones around and try to, again, increase revenue for the power authority so we can use that revenue for the different departments that need it. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Please, the chair. So, if I'm reading this correctly, what you call the budget balance is probably the fund balance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So where we set aside, $2.5-3 million a long time ago for major catastrophic things that could happen to the dam so that we had kind of a self-insured pot. Is that part of this, or is that in addition to this? Because I don't want to see that get mixed into where it's just covering the losses that are going to start happening.
It is a part of this. So when FERC came, they're like, okay, give us what you have. Give us a number. If the dam breaches tomorrow, what can we pay, I guess, until you become bankrupt, I guess. So that's why the Siskiyou Power Authority is different from the county. Because if something catastrophic happens.
I understand that. I understand why they're different. I'm just wanting to know where that fund balance is that we've set aside.
That's what it is. And they would like to see between 6 and 10 million in there.
Yeah, that's never
going to happen.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. So, I mean, I get that we have it now, but where I'm concerned is, as we bleed now, is we're going to be tapping that. Is that what's happening?
So next year we're doing our two big projects. We, DSOD, which is the dam safety, the Division of Dam Safety for California came out. We do have spalling on the spillway.
Yes.
But it's very minimal. They say just to keep an eye on it. And that's really the only other projects that we need down the future. And we're just going to be banking from 26, 27 on is our goal because of the amount going down from
Pacific Power.
And once these inspections wrap up too, we won't be spending money on that. And this is a good chunk of money.
Understood. I get that. And the resurfacing of the face, I guess, is something that's been on the books. And the tram thing has always been on the books.
Yes.
We just haven't pulled the trigger, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So I guess I'm looking to the CAO now. So how do we, or Sherry, somebody, how do we designate this set-aside? Because this is my fear, is that it gets put in the wash, and then it just kind of washes away like it was never set aside. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Sure. So,
and that's not a criticism on new department heads. I'm just wanting to keep things where they should be.
Yeah. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator. And to clarify, you're talking about that $3 million.
Yeah.
So that is part of their overall fund balance. That $3 million is set aside in a committed account.
Okay.
Just like general fund has their specific committed account. So that $3 million will not be touched, or should not be touched for anything besides what it was set aside for.
Okay. Thank you. That's what I need you to know. And then, I mean, it's obvious that we may run in the red here for a while. I get that. But I still think it's important to keep it operational. It's not like we're going to deconstruct, because then we lose the recreation altogether of what we have at Lake Siskiyou. I'm more interested in expanding the property on Lake Siskiyou to include leases for cabins, especially on the south side, because it's just sitting there. We need to look at ways to generate revenue without investing. And by leasing and requiring or having the option, for instance, 5 models of cabins that can be built, it's all incumbent upon the lessee to do that. The county has nothing basically out of pocket. And we can reap the benefit of the property tax, if it's even zoned vacation rental potential as well, TOT, things along that nature that can give private citizens an option to get in there. We got to do something because it's just sitting there.
Absolutely.
And it might offset some of the loss that we're getting now.
A couple thoughts. This board unfortunately passed up the opportunity to secure the transmission lines in the county years ago, which would have been great. My predecessor shut that down because of liability, I think, at the time, not looking strategically long-term at how that would benefit the county. But if there ever is an opportunity to do such a thing, even on a limited scale, where say the city of Mount Shasta, where you could set up a power authority like Reading has with the dam there to sell power to that city, would be a great boon for the county. I would definitely want to move in that direction if that opportunity ever arises again. Just a thought on disaster planning. I don't know what FERC's doing. I've lived through a volcanic eruption. If you're in Dunsmuir and you're waiting for a mud flow to come off that mountain at 200 miles an hour, you're lucky to hear it before it hits you. So, I'm really concerned about what kind of bells and whistles are going to make us jump through for something that, Dunsmuir should have moved out years, light years ahead of anything like that, given the tilt meters that are on the side of that mountain. Signal an eruption to be imminent. If you get in those discussions, COS has an extensive library on the history of the volcanic eruptions from Mount Shasta that might be helpful. I do know that the pyroclastic flows off that mountain during the last eruption reached Red Bluff in 2 hours. Okay. Keep that in mind when you're talking to FERC and chuckle. Thanks.
Any other comments? Okay. Thanks for the update.
Thank you very much.
Keep us posted. Okay, with that, we will adjourn as the Siskiyou Power Authority, reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and move on to item 11A, County Clerk.
Yeah, this is Deputy County Clerk Wendy Winningham. This is the Aetna Cemetery District with a unscheduled vacancy. It was due to one of their members' resignation. This is for a term ending January 3rd of 2028. We did our normal posting as we usually do with these. And as of yet, we have not received any letters of interest in serving on the district board. If we could continue this, that would be great.
Sounds good. We will continue. And with that, we will move into closed session.